Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas here. It is Naturally Green at SaverLife.com, and another winter day, beautifully white outside, nice decoration of snow in the trees, and it's not that cold out. So I hope you get a chance to get outside and explore, perhaps bring some binoculars, look for some birds, maybe check out the bark on all the different trees in Highland Park, places like that, or just walk down the street. You know, there are some beautiful street trees and some fascinating architecture in many neighborhoods in the Rochester area. So get outside and cut some forsythia, cut some other things to bring inside to force into bloom. It'll take a few weeks, but it's worth it because we'll be just barely hitting March when you have forsythia blooming inside, and it'll be 6-8 weeks until it actually blooms outside. So speed it up a little and bring some indoors. A friend of mine was asking about quince yesterday, and we actually have a quince in our backyard, a compliments of our neighbor who actually has the shrub. This one is just some branches and sort of suckers from the roots that have come through on our side of the fence. So we get some nice quince flowers. Haven't any fruit from our side. I think they've had a couple of quince fruit on theirs. Probably a pretty old variety. And so I was recommending they get some quince, and was looking up some places online because there's probably some more interesting quince than the one that our neighbor and now we have a little bit of. And so one of my favorite sites for edible trees and shrubs is Rain Tree Nursery. I'm not actually sure where they're located, but they for many years I think have had some of the most interesting edible trees and shrubs available, and they listed 20 different quince, which is really kind of a mind-boggling number considering that I was expecting, you know, 3 maybe. Some of these are specific for specific purposes, you know, flowering, not all for fruit, actually. Unfortunately, most of these are sold out. They do have the limon, L-I-M-O-N, quince available. All these others are sold out. Maybe you needed to check in the fall to order these. Maybe quince is becoming trendy. I don't know. A neighbor of ours made a quince liqueur and got to try that last night, and it was delicious. So a liqueur, it was not sweet. Had some really great quince flavor, and a cute little bottle. So quince is something you're very unlikely to go out and eat in your garden. I know a couple people who eat them raw, and most people would spit out the first bite that they took. It's just high in maybe in tannins and just really tart isn't the word for it. It's an acquired taste, but just quince jams and cooking has some great uses, and it does have some really beautiful flowers. And most quince have white to pink flowers, but there are some with some darker flowers and really quite a few different ones. So you may have to wait a little bit to get one of these more exotic quinces if you are interested in trying having a couple quince. You don't need to have more than one. You do need to have some more than one of some fruits like blueberries. You need generally three different varieties to cross-pollinate, but not with quince. And one of the varieties that they're sold out of at Rain Tree Nursery is Kiesel Kurganskaya quince. And it says from, this is raintreenursery.com, Sam Benowitz's trip exploring fruits developed in Russia yielded many interesting cultivars, including the sweet non-astringent quince he collected from the Vavilov Institute in Uzbekistan. It may have originated in West Central Russia in Kurgan. The early ripening fruit is medium-sized, somewhat pear-shaped, and can be used for fresh eating or cooking. Trees show some resistance to Fabrea leaf spot rust and powdery mildew. And having something that's resistant to some of those diseases is probably a good idea. So again, they're sold out of this one. They have that Limon one, which they really didn't have much information about. So I searched online and found this kind of odd Royal Agroscience website, which looks like and probably is just a artificial intelligence, except there's not a lot of intelligence in this one, website. I can't think of the term for it, but sort of creating a website by grabbing information and assembling it. And unfortunately, the assembly comes out rather odd. So this Royal Agroscience .com, I guess, is their website. But they have this Limon quince, L-I-M-O-N, quince sapling description. But they don't have any information where to find it. It's actually from Uzbekistan. I didn't realize that. So there's no information on where to find it. Maybe this is just translation from Russian or Uzbek language, perhaps. Here's the description. The tree. It says, trees develop at medium strength, grow vertically first, and grow old as the tree grows old. that sounds a little odd. Again, it grows old as the tree grows old. The fruit produced by producers in recent years has increased a high rate of variety. Its color is lemon yellow, and its fruit flesh is yellowish. It is a juicy variety with a taste. and then I guess the pollination translates as powderers. It's a self-productive variety. So this is sort of a multiple of issues here probably with this website, but it was kind of fun to read. I was all in until they said that the trees grow old as the tree grows old. you run into some odd things, not so helpful, but at least humorous. So you can get some quince maybe for next year that are that's kind of exotic and different. I don't know. Maybe this one is because it is non-astringent. Perhaps one could eat it raw, but generally they're used for cooking. And I think Brown's Berry Patch, which is no longer open to the public, they had kind of a agritourism farm for many years, and now they're just doing commercial, their regular commercial orchards, and they had, and probably still have, the largest quince orchard in, I don't know, it was like the East Coast or something. But a pretty old nursery, or old orchard. So I'm not sure that they've been replacing trees or not. Given that this Rain Tree Nursery has 20 varieties of quince on their website, it seems like a indication of a trendy plant, perhaps. They also, by the way, Rain Tree Nursery sells the rootstock and custom grafts, probably to commercial orchards. And so I'll have to try and catch up with Bob Brown at Brown's Berry Patch and find out whether they still have that quince orchard. They generally, the quince from that orchard would generally, they show up at the Rochester Public Market, sold by Kirby's, because Brown's Berry Patch doesn't come to the market, but I think, at least in the past, they've sold their quince to Kirby's, and then Kirby's sells it at the Rochester Public Market, because there are a lot of Eastern European immigrants who just love quince. Quince is one of their favorite things, and so Kirby sells quite a bit of them each fall, but I'm not sure how long that orchard at Brown's Berry Patch will last, and don't know if other orchards are planting quince. Got to check with some of the apple orchards, like Herd Orchards and Lagener Farms and Orbaker, and find out whether they're planting quince or not. Last week I mentioned, just don't recall whether it was the food show or the Finger Lakes show, but last week was up driving in the fruit belt. This was on the way to Sodus Point, and you have to take turn off to Animal Rescue Farm, which is on the way up there. It's not far off the main route up to Sodus Point from Route 104, but right across the street from this Animal Rescue Farm, there's a nursery with, I'm guessing, peach trees that are fairly newly planted, but they have these shiny, probably stainless steel stakes, maybe they're aluminum stakes, but very shiny stakes that go out like a vase from each tree. I think there are four stakes. They go out at an angle, like, I don't know, maybe it's a 60-degree angle or something, but a pretty significant angle, quite a nice vase shape to the look to them. And, you know, they have this whole couple acres of trees that are essentially, well, they're not really trellised, because I don't think these are permanent. There is an older, again, I'm guessing they're peaches. They could be apricots. Hard to tell for me when you're that far away, and even if I was up close, I don't think I could tell the difference during the winter. But they have some older trees that were obviously treated the same way to create more air, to create more light for fruit ripening, and so you have these vase-shaped trees without the stakes, and then you have these newer ones that have all these stakes in them. But there's so many of these stakes, with four per tree, and they're planted fairly close, as they seem to be a dwarf tree of a dwarf variety. And so there's this, it's like a sculpture of these stakes crisscrossing each other as you look through them. I got to go up and take some photos of this on a sunny day. It really kind of a cool thing to see. Also, we were driving by some of the newer apple orchards up there, and their trees are planted astoundingly close to each other, very narrow, narrowly pruned, very dwarf trees. A lot of people driving by might think they were grapes or something, because they just don't look like apple trees. Even grapes aren't planted this close together usually. So, even during the winter, it's kind of fun to go through the fruit belt and see some of these orchards. There's cherries, peaches, tons of apples, and some of these orchards are getting turned over to more varieties for hard cider. So there are some newer orchards using some of these new techniques, and some of those are art trellis wires going between them, which also makes them look like a vineyard. And it allows tractors to go down and prune them and spray them and maintain them more easily than, you know, the large sort of quintessential apple tree that one imagines from decades ago. You know, just this huge sprawling tree, generally pruned so that it spreads out like a, you know, has almost a flat top to it. And you'll see those while you're out driving through our fruit belt. So it's kind of fun to explore the region and the trellising of these, and probably peach trees, was pretty neat. I don't know if Red Jacket Orchards in Geneva, they were a couple of years ago talking about potentially taking out their apricot orchard because, you know, almost every year the apricots got frozen off by winters that were too cold, late spring frosts, all kinds of things. And, you know, they just couldn't justify having this apricot orchard and only getting a crop a couple times in a decade. I think they've gotten some crops for a few years, so maybe they are still keeping that apricot orchard. Hope so. But we have plums, and actually just had a chance to taste something, Sipelwitz, which is a Polish fruit wine, I guess, kind of made with plums. So there's some, even if you don't like to eat plums, you can make this wine. It was delicious. And I love the fact that we live in an area where all of these different fruits grow. I mean, Herd Orchards has multiple varieties of currants, including champagne currants that are sort of the color of champagne. And there's all kinds of raspberries and blackberries, and strawberries do really well here. So it's really kind of an ideal place to live in a sense, I think, if you can deal with a few months of winter. And we'll see how early spring comes to our area. So if you want to grow some of these things in your garden, or create a little bit more of an edible landscape, you can have some fun with these. And there are probably, like I mentioned with the quince, 20 varieties that this one mail order place had. And you will find a few quince, probably more ornamental ones than edible ones, at area nurseries. But strawberries, for example, you might think, well, just go get some strawberry plants from the nursery. But you go to Bristol's Garden Center, and usually in the spring, they will have 8 or 10 varieties of strawberries. So now you got to figure out, you know, which ones to get. There's some heirloom ones. There's some newer varieties. There's resistant varieties that are resistant to disease. There's some that bear all summer. There are some that just bear in the early summer one time. And there's really, you got a lot to choose from. And strawberries make a wonderful ground cover. If you want to have less mowing and have a plant that's got beautiful fall color, it's got nice flowers, so generally white flowers on strawberries, although there's some pink flowered varieties. And they spread. I mean, you don't need to buy 100 of them because you're going to have 100 of them in a couple of years. They send out runners with new plants, and you know, one large plant might send out, you know, half a dozen runners, each of which produce 2 or 3 plants. So you go from one plant to 20 within maybe even within a year. They'll be small plants, but it'll take them another year to produce any strawberries. But I tend to buy kind of one of everything with the strawberries and experiment with them. They need sun. They need good drainage and you know, maybe some winter protection with just the leaves that blow through your yard would probably be good to have with them. And again, you've got the leaves turn a great color in the fall. So, you know, look around your yard. This is the time of year to do some of this planning and research and maybe a few drawings if you like, and see where you could add maybe some strawberries or some blueberries or maybe some raspberries. And Sarah's Garden Center this past year in particular has been expanding their selection of some of these fruits, and there are some dwarf and thornless varieties of raspberries and blackberries. And you know, in the past, if you planted raspberries or blackberries, you create a small nightmare because these things have tons of thorns, and they grow quickly. They spread underground. They can really take over, and you have to really love eating them to deal with them on a small property. If you have lots of space, then you know they can kind of run wild, but on a smaller property, it can be a big challenge. So these thornless and compact varieties are fantastic. And Sarah's Garden Center in Brockport had a whole lot of them last year, and I expect to have as many, maybe even more, this spring. And so maybe you can consider for yourself or as a gift for someone a dwarf thornless raspberry or blackberry. They had multiple varieties of these and types. Clearly a lot of breedings going into creating these thornless varieties, and it'll be fun to see how they do. And I think, you know, it helps to solve the two big problems. So the reasons that I don't have raspberries, because they're thorny and they grow too fast. They get too big, take up too much space. So I think this spring I'm going to get a couple of these thornless dwarf varieties and experiment with them. So, you know, around your yard, you can create a lot of space for edible plants, not just a vegetable garden, but fruits, vines, trees. If you're looking at a few fruit trees, I would tend to look at apples and pears. The apricots, nectarines, peaches, plums, these are they're just tricky to grow. They need a lot of maintenance. They are not that tough. They are more likely to you're more likely to lose the crop because of a late frost. Generally, with those, they're more tender. I remember multiple times I heard orchards just, you know, would say they late frost. There are not going to be any peaches this year. And in a normal year, they would have literally tons of peaches. Oh, and they have multiple varieties. And there are some years where most of them get frozen. The buds get frozen. The trees survive, but the buds, the fruiting buds, those get killed by the frost. So, you know, maybe experiment with one or two. Maybe you have a microclimate in your yard things are a little milder, and maybe those more tender fruit trees will survive. But even if they do survive, there are some diseases and insects that are a challenge to control. So, you know, there's a reason that it's hard to find organic peaches and apricots and nectarines, because there are a lot of pests that go after them. And cherries, there are a couple diseases that attack them. There are some insects that go into the cherries. So obviously there's some insects that attack apple trees and pears too, but you get resistant varieties. There's a few things you can do to distract some of these pests. So I lean toward pears and apples, and there are tons of varieties of those that you can get, including very dwarf varieties, some of the newer experimental varieties, and some of the older ones. The more recognizable varieties are probably going to have more disease problems. You might find, I think Liberty was one that was really a delicious, wonderful apple, and resistant to a lot of the diseases. So if you are looking to create they sometimes call it an edible forest garden, where you try to fit in as many edible plants as you can. There's some great vines like hardy kiwi vine. Many other perennial plants and things, and Rain Tree Harvest or Rain Tree Nursery is a really good source of them. Also, Fruition Seeds has many vegetables available and herbs, but also flowers. And I tend to think of Fruition Seeds for their vegetable seeds, but they've been expanding the number of flowers that they're growing, from echinacea and dahlias, hyssop. They've got larkspur, lavender, marigold, milkweed, nasturtiums, nigella, and it's a long list of flowers that they're growing organically and are based in Naples. So check out their website, order a few seed packets, and it will brighten your day. There are a number of farms that are starting their seeds now. I saw Felon's Family Farms. They have started their seeds. And that's not necessarily a sign that you should, because the farms that are doing this are generally using grow lights, which a lot of people don't have. You can get them at Bristol's Garden Center. But if you start seedlings early, you need to have grow lights. Peppers and tomatoes are ones to start the earliest, but most homeowners, consumer gardeners should probably wait to start seeds until really a month from now, maybe end of March. You want to start them ideally about a month before you plant them outside. And that's a long ways away at this point. So, get some seeds, do some ordering, experiment with some planting, test some germination rates for fun, just grow a few seedlings to see what happens with them. But for what you're going to plant outside, I would wait at least another month, and probably 6 weeks from now, somewhere in that range. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back with a food show, Discover the Finger Lakes this morning, but also tomorrow, the grapevine here at saverlife.com. Have a great day.